I gotta get more amens. If this is Pentecostal church, we need to hear more amens.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Because I mean, that's important. We're in some crucial times in this world right now. I believe the Lord is putting nations in order.
Yes.
I believe He's coming back very, very soon. And we want to support our missionaries. We want to pray for our missionaries. We want to lift up their families. We want to lift up the co-workers that come behind them. Amen? We want to be part of, because everything, the missionaries that we support, we're part of that ministry. We're the ones that are helping win that lost person to encourage the hurting, the dying, the crying out there. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm excited about Jesus. Right, Ruth? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Pete, you want to come up here? I'm trying to stay away from preaching a message here.
I got a mic. I think my mic works.
Your mic works.
Boy, I tell you what, usually when I go places, they tell me to be quiet. I come here and Lynn's saying, not enough, not enough. If you are not familiar with our ministry, on the lower level table, there's some more of our recent newsletters, some more further information. You can grab that and read up on it and go to our website and see what the Lord would have you do. I'm here to present what has happened in the ministry the last 12 months since I've been here and a little bit about where we're going to be going for the next year. But allow me to introduce the message by way of just going to the Bible, if that's okay. I know a lot of churches don't go to the Bible anymore. But I just want to reference a passage in Mark chapter 4 about the sowers, the seed and the sowers. And usually what is taught or what the focus is, the 75% bad and the 25% good. In other words, the soil is always a challenge. But I look at it this a little bit differently. Not that 75% are not going to be fruitful, won't get saved. I just look at that. Okay, that's the reality of the world. We're not going to be able to harvest everywhere. But what I see in the passage is we are obligated to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I preach to some really strange looking creatures places we go. But I tell you what. It's the seed. It's a precious seed. But the seed cannot go to waste. You, just because you sow it to maybe a bum in the street, and you say, he's a bum. He's no good. He has no hope. He has no future. But I tell you what, the seed of the Word of God implanted in that person will change his life.
Yes.
And we may not see it today or tomorrow, but sooner or later, it's going to happen. And I look at it this way. If we look at Mark 4, 26 through 28, I call this the all by itself principle. Now, I like to harvest. I like to see people saved.
Amen.
But most of the time, it's sowing. It's going. It's toiling. It's sharing. It's praying. It's on our knees before God. Then we go out and we try to harvest. And so often we don't see it happen that day. But by faith, we have to realize if we sowed the seed, it will accomplish what it's sent to do until the end. And that's why we continue in prayer every day. And when we don't know what to pray for, that's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost so we can pray in tongues. And then the Holy Ghost in us prays what is needed, what needs to be said. Beginning in verse 26 of Mark 4, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and grow up. He knows not how. We sow seed. We don't have all the answers how, and I'm not even interested in that. I just know the seed is real. The seed is powerful. The seed is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And when you have that combination, I don't even know if it's a combination. He is the Word. He is truth. It's all about Jesus. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. This is Smith Wigglesworth's favorite, one of his favorite scriptures. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear.
Amen.
In other words, it's the all by itself principle. And I say that to lay a foundation, especially for what we've been doing this last year, Vision 2020. And those of you who follow our ministry, you're more familiar with what that is, and I'll get into that. But what it is right now, 250,000 people a month are being reached with one of our gospel newspapers by an evangelist. One-on-one, face-to-face.
Hallelujah.
Now, we don't see 250,000 people saved a month, but we know it's thousands and probably tens of thousands. But the point is, it's precious seed. But I'm not hoarding the seed. When we first went overseas to Moscow in 1993, I found out that the ministry we were working with at the time had like 75,000 Kenneth Hagin books in storage. And I said, what are they doing in storage? He said, well, we don't want to waste them. I said, what do you mean waste? Well, we just can't give them out. We want to get people saved. And then, no, how about giving them out, get people saved as we give them out? Make a long story short, over the next 3 months, I got all 75,000 books. And then the door opened. We ended up getting over 1 million that we sowed in the first 2 years we were overseas. It's the all by itself principle. It goes beyond just the word or a New Testament or a gospel newspaper. It's a phrase. It's a word out of your mouth, anointed by the Holy Ghost. It's a word of knowledge. It's a prophetic word. When we train ourselves to live in Christ 24/7, God reveals things to us. Because He's the Word, is always speaking. The problem is, we are not always listening, and especially in today's day and age. And we have all these gadgets that are beeping and honking and buzzing, and we got to learn to turn them off at night. Luke 11:20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, I'm in churches. I go to churches and, less and less because they're not inviting me back for some reason. But when I used to go to churches I preach the word of God and would just cast out devils and demons are manifesting. But they say, we don't want that. We got to do that in the back room. We can't do it here because the people will be affrighted. They won't know what to do. They won't understand. Wow. That should be normal Christianity. Because the living God in us is the key. So that's why every day I pray in tongues 1 hour minimum. Sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours. Because I constantly force myself to make it a lifestyle. I spend 3 hours on the road here. I know Brahm would probably say it should have only taken you 2 hours and 11 minutes. According to Google. But Google has messed me up so often, I decided to go by Jill, my wife. Took me a little longer, but I got here. I'm going to use a PowerPoint. Remember the old days, missionaries used to come with the slides, and the old discs. So I'm going to upgrade a little bit. I'm going to use a PowerPoint just so you can follow along with me, because I just want to now spend time on testimonies. You're going to hear numbers. You're going to hear thousands and tens of thousands and 250,000 and 3 million and 6 million. But it all boils down to an individual. Amen. It always boils down to a person. When I need healing, yes, I want others to get healed, but it's really about me or my wife or children or grandkids. It's personal. So I want to bring you some personal testimonies. I'm going to begin with a 6-minute video clip. Now, the first minute is a little graphic. It has to do with the war. But I want you to understand the war in Ukraine. You're not hearing about it in America. Do you hear about it? No. Ukraine war?
No.
It's still going on. People still dying. Still bloody. So I want to let you know it's still going on. But there's good news on the back end of this. Go ahead and see if that slide will...
Oh, my God.
Yes, the war in Ukraine rages on and it's brutal. Civilians are constantly dying. Soldiers are dying every day. Yet Russian Harvest Ministries remains committed to go into this conflict and bring soldiers and civilians the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've sent in over 40 evangelism teams. We've supplied an army of evangelists with 500,000 gospel newspapers, and they're reaching thousands for Jesus monthly. We've sold over 50,000 Sid Roth testimonial booklets, thousands of New Testaments, and so much more gospel materials. We continue to make and supply camouflage netting for military vehicles. We also supply food and warm clothing in the wintertime, but always we preach the gospel of Jesus. What's the results? Thousands are putting their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Мы от всего сердца, команда капелланов, работающих в зоне боевых действий, благодарим лично Питер Мелла за ту поддержку, которую он оказывает для достижения людей на фронте, на войне.
Yes, the war in Ukraine is raging, but the Bible says that God gave us weapons which are not carnal, but strong and mighty to destroy all the strongholds of the devil. And in RHM, we don't use AK-47 or pistols. We use spiritual guns to reach people in the villages, in the marketplaces, on the streets, in the hospital, by the simple message, but yet powerful to change and transform lives, the message of Jesus Christ.
Я был в военной зоне 5 раз.
I was at the war zone 5 times.
И я своими глазами видел, что принесла война людям.
And with my own eyes, I was able to see how devastating the war is.
Смерть, слезы, страдания.
Death, pain, suffering.
Нет надежды, нет выхода.
No hope, no way out.
Но есть и другая часть.
But there's another part.
То, что делает служение Русская Жатва.
What Russian Harvest Ministry is doing over there.
Когда мы идем туда.
When we go there.
Проповедуем Евангелие.
We preach the gospel.
В этом Евангелии есть выход для людей.
And in that message of the gospel, people find their way out of their troubles.
Люди обретают надежду.
People gain their hope.
Несмотря на все, что делается там.
Despite of everything that happens around them.
Они видят выход.
They see the way
надежду.
Out. They see hope.
И новую жизнь.
And new life.
Во Христе.
In Jesus Christ.
In spite of everything that is going on in our country right now, Russian Harvest Ministry is going non-stop because we realize that the time is short and we want to get as many people saved as possible. That's why every single day we send out teams to evangelize in the faraway villages and in towns so we could see the people saved and the kingdom of God expand.
Our version of what Apostle Paul said concerning being all things to all people that we may win them to Christ is multi-style evangelism. We desire to equip all believers that they may fulfill their purpose on this earth using their talents and giftings that they may be effective in the Great Commission. So Russian Harvest Ministry, we equip people with balloons that they use in evangelism. We use cold tea in summer and hot tea in winter to draw people to our tents that we may preach the gospel of Jesus. We use clowns to reach children. We have people that have talents in shoe repair, and we use that for evangelism. Others, they cut hair free and share the gospel. We use eyeglasses evangelism. We test people's eyes, and then we have lines of people waiting. We share the gospel of Jesus. We have ministry to prisons and hospitals and feats of strength. We use Santa Claus evangelism, face painting evangelism. We do skits, healing outreaches, music. We use choir evangelism on the street. All these are done on the streets. We just go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. But our purpose remains the same. To reveal the kingdom of heaven that people may be born again through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. 250,000 people are now being reached every month in the nation of Ukraine with a gospel newspaper. Every hour during the day, 7 days a week, people are coming to Jesus. The elderly, men, women, children, towns are being reached. Thousands of villages are going to be reached this year. Everywhere we go, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of the Living God, we're taking back territory from the devil. Vision 2020 is effective. It's anointed. It's powerful. It's working. Right now, we have over 100 teams on the streets sharing Jesus everywhere. every day, giving out gospel newspapers. And by the end of 2017, in 1 year, we will have effectively held over 6,000 outreaches on the street. Praise the name of Jesus.
I was going to mention this later in the presentation, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. You heard 6,000 outreaches. You know, my goal has always been 1,000. You know, when people say 70, 80, 200, that number doesn't really connect in my heart. It's 1,000 sounds good. So I set a goal 1,000. And about 2 months ago, I was praying, and I said, Lord, I'm 61 years old now. It's been 24 years. We're at about the 400 mark. At this rate, I'm gonna have to live to be like 100 and some, just to, you know, at this pace. And I need something. I need a boost to get to that mark, that goal. And he said, "What do you mean? You've already done it." I said, "You see, because I was thinking the old paradigm, where we rented a building, set up a sound system, did the advertising like we were doing. But when we launched Vision 2020 last year and began to train up teams all over the nation for street ministry, the reality is we have now done effectively last year over 5,200, and from April to April over 6,200 outreaches preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that tells me if we'll just be faithful sowers of the seed, we're going to look back someday and realize, wow, look at my life. Because how often do you evaluate your life and you think, wow, what have I done? What, have you been tithing? If you've been tithing, that in itself is miraculous. It's powerful. Because if you've been tithing, God is doing all this stuff in the background, taking those finances and reaching people for Jesus Christ you don't even know of. If you've been giving above and beyond, if you've been praying every day for missionaries around the world, you're included, you're connected with souls all around the world. If you've been faithful, if you've been loving, if you've been sowing the word of God, if you've been lifting up people, all those things are released from us. And if they're good things, we'll reap a harvest. If they're bad things, we'll also reap a harvest. So we want to learn to live our life where that balance shifts. And I think of this church. Because you started this church, I don't know how many, 5, 6, 7 years ago or whatever, but it was humble beginnings. It started out with a man that got a vision, then a man and a wife, then a man and his wife and his daughter and her husband, and then a few other people. And then you began to do a work, and it was toiling and setting up every week, month, and year in and year out. Every, just constantly the sound system and all this work and all this effort. And I'm sure sometimes you thought to yourself, even vocally thought, is this worth it? And all the problems and all the people, you know, blabbing and, you know, not with you, and with you, then not with you, and all these things. I know, I get it. But then this. I mean, if you can't look at this building and how you got this building to know God's in it, then there's some issues up here. Because this is a miracle. So I just encourage you to keep going the way you're going. Stick to the word. Stick to truth. Stick to Jesus. Stick to holiness. Stick to righteousness. Just keep it simple. How do you keep it simple? Just preach the word. You don't need the new gadgets. And yet, yes, I know. And I understand. I get it. It helps. But that's not God. If that's all gone, what do you got? It better be the Holy Ghost. Lynn, you know, you in the early days, is that, can I call you Lynn instead of Pastor? Okay, yeah, because it's just, I'm not into titles. You know, people always come up with these titles for me, and I said, just give me the whole list. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, administrator, dishwasher, toilet cleaner. Well, Lynn has been over there many times in the early days, and he remembers what it was like when we just had... I mean, if there was water, there was no hot water. But a lot of times there was no water. It was rotten beds, rotten hotels, if there was a hotel. And, well, it wasn't good. But you know what? Jesus showed up. In the darkest of places and on the darkest of people with... So downcast, and God showed up. And God's going to show up here too. If you remember the story when Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 6, when thousands left him and he turned to them and said, you want to go too? That wasn't just a question. It was an invitation. And they said, where are we going to go? Yes. You have eternal life. Yes. Just keep things simple. The next slide, woe is me. Now, most of what I'm going to be giving you out here is probably 30 days or less. So these are fresh testimonies. These aren't 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5-1. These are fresh because I spend 2 to 4 hours a day sometimes just trying to go through the testimonies that come in to my office, to me. And so often I just get overwhelmed. It's a good problem to have. But you're part of my problem because you're sowing into our ministry. So people keep getting saved and healed and delivered. A gospel newspaper, this is the one under the Bible. The Bible's on top because that's the most important. New Testament, actually. But it costs us 2.5 cents to produce one. We have staff works constantly all month to get that for production, goes to print, 2 languages, Russian, Ukrainian. So we have translators working in. Just all this going on for a month to release it, to go to 100 locations and 250,000 every month. Every month, fresh testimonies, because it's just, we just want it to be powerful. And this evangelist stopped in to get his car washed, and the guy was busy. He tried to talk to him. He couldn't, so he left a couple newspapers, called back later, tried to find the guy, and he says, is this the guy that was working? Yes, yes, yes. And, well, what's your name? He said, my name is Woe Is Me. He said, what do you mean, Woe Is Me? I don't know. Somebody left this newspaper here. I've been reading it, and I'm realizing how wicked I am and how sinful I am, so I just have to tell myself. He didn't even know the Bible, but yet, remember the story? Woe is me. I'm undone. And so he led him to Jesus over the phone. Woe is me. Next slide. Lady died in a hospital. Couldn't be reached. No one knew that she was there. Now, this isn't the lady. I'm going to tell you right. That's not the lady. It's a representation about the age and stuff. Although we did reach this lady for Christ. I wanted you just to get a picture in your mind because the lady was dying. Her niece had gotten saved in one of our meetings, and she didn't know how to share her faith. She wanted to do something for her aunt, and so she figured I could at least grab a gospel newspaper, go and read the testimonies to her. And she did. She read them. The lady got saved, gloriously wonderful saved, and died the next day. Number 4. Now, you read this in our newsletter, but many of new faces in here, but another lady, she didn't know how to share her faith. She was new in the Lord, but she figured I could sew gospel newspapers. And so she began to do it, and then, you know, she wasn't seeing any fruit, but she said, I'm going to keep sewing. And one day she got a knock on her door, and she recognized it was her neighbor. He said, I know you're the one that's been, you know, passing out these newspapers and putting them in the mailboxes. And right away, the lady just kind of, oh, no, I'm going to get, it's just, she's going to chew me out. And she said, I want to thank you. Why? Because I came home last week. And I saw my husband on his knees. He looked strange, not moving. And your newspaper was spread out to the back page where we have a prayer of repentance. And he was dead. I touched him. He fell over. He's dead. Now I'm trusting that he did repent. But my point is, a 2.5 cent newspaper with testimonies and covered in prayer by the blood of Jesus will cause someone to be in heaven for eternity. Go to number 7, please. This has to do with one of our, I think, eight people on our Chernigov staff named Sergei. Probably one of 7 million in the nation of Ukraine named Sergei out of 42 million people. But 2 months ago, he was out witnessing with one of our teams. He met a couple, husband and wife. They were just totally wasted drunks. Couldn't even get through to him, but they left the gospel newspaper. 2 months later, just a few weeks ago, he was back there, and this couple comes running up to him, and they said, "Sergei, brother Sergei." Now he's brother. He said, "Remember us?" And they said, "No, I don't." Why? They were now clothed, clean clothes, and in their right mind. He said, "We read that newspaper. We gave our hearts to Christ. We've been serving him now for a month and a half. And I've read the New Testament that you ought." They also gave me a New Testament. "I read it 3 times. We pray every day. We just talk to Jesus every day. We're saved. What do we do now?" 2.5 cents. Number 8. Krymychuk. This was over 22 years ago. I was in this little village called Kalinchuk. And I remember that conference because it was the early days of the ministry. We were just getting rolling. We were just building momentum, and it was dedicated to youth. A few months ago, a man contacts me from Krymychuk. His name is Vladimir Avalov. And he said, "I was in that meeting 22 years ago. You laid hands on me. You prophesied over me. I dedicated my life to missions, and I just want to let you know. I've been serving Jesus ever since. I've started several churches, and now I'm part of Vision 2020. Wow. One encounter. One word. One prophetic word. One act of love. One challenge. Changed a life. Not only a life, his family. Has 3 daughters. They're all saved. His wife's saved. They're all in ministry together. One of his daughters, his name is Masha. I see her all the time on Facebook. She is a nonstop dynamo evangelist. She's been to multiple nations already. I met with Brother Haylin. This microphone is... Did you break this once before already or something? Okay. I guess I did too. But now I met with him last month, Vladimir, and now he's him and his family and his team now are dedicated to reach 10 villages for Christ. They've already been in 10 in less than a month. They go to 5 different hospitals every week evangelizing. From one encounter. Number 9, Ovrush. So it's another location. I just got this testimony a few weeks ago. I had no idea. Matter of fact, most of what happens in the ministry now, I have no idea that is going on, and I'll never hear it because it's just too much. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. We got a call. This person wanted to join Vision 2020. We did our review because we just don't let anybody join with us. You know, if they're not full gospel, if they're not dedicated, if they're not passionate about Jesus, if they're not soul winners, if they're not full of Holy Ghost, praying tongues, they don't join with us. Now, for some that may sound mean, but can two run together unless they agree? I don't want to spend half my time debating the Bible. And so once they go through that process and we're willing to run together, because I tell the people, look, I will suffer with you, but I will not suffer for you. I will pay a price with you, but I won't pay a price for you. If I'm going to die, you better be willing to die with me. Amen. That's just the way it is. And that's the way the kingdom is. And Jesus is our example. Yes, yes. He died for us that we may have life. Well, so we began to work with these guys. They started to get a vision. A team went out there. Then a second team went out there. The church is about 65 people, 32 of 65 are now going through missionary training. And now they've dedicated their church, now 65 people, to plant 10 new churches in villages around that. From one encounter of a team going out and they see the possibilities. They start going out evangelizing. They come alive in their spirit because people are getting saved through their life. You know what the most powerful thing is? It's not brilliance. It's a testimony. I've heard, you know, one of the most scary things to me is when someone comes into me, I just felt called to the Lord to go to, you know, like master's, to get a master's or a doctorate or go to a 4-year Bible school or I just need more revelation. And I'm not against schools. We've got them. But just information scares me. Because so many have went off to these schools and they come back so intellectually, don't know how to get anyone saved. All they can do is debate Hebrew and Greek and sound good and look good. But the basics inside, the pure motivation of ministry in life is not based on a love with Jesus. If you want to be great in the kingdom, I got the answer. Be a servant. Go to the low places and God will bring you up in due season. Number 10. Not too long ago, we were doing some training of young people and we sent them out to the streets because we don't have a month of training or even a day of training. We have 3 hours of training the first day and they immediately go to the streets and learn or share what they just learned. Next day, 3 hours and then 6 hours on the street again. Why? Because Christianity is relational and Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is so powerful, they can go out and immediately get people saved. And like happened in this story, when these two girls, not boys, not men, girls, yeah, girls, are mighty in God already. I mean, what would life be like with just all men? Yeah, drab. And we'd only live one generation. So these kids, they're like 18, 19 years old. They went out. The first guy they met was a guy that he was like 75 years old, very like beat up looking, and he was drunk. And they began to share. They mentioned the name of Jesus, and he starts manifesting and cursing. And, and you know, they didn't know what to do, except they remembered what they just learned. They just said, in the name of Jesus. And then the other one says, I know what to do. What? He's got demons. They said, what is your name? We tell him, don't do that. Okay, that's usually not good. But this time it did work. God in his mercy, he said, my name is Afghanistan. And they learned later that he was in the Afghanistan war. He had killed many, many, many people, brutally killing them during that war. And he had all these memories, became a drug addict, became a drunk. No, after like over 30 years, they find this guy in the street. They keep ministering to him. All of a sudden, it was like a light went on and just like a bomb exploded. And he just starts shaking his head, looking around and closing, opening and closing his eyes. And he said, where am I? Where have I been all these years? Who are you? Totally delivered. They led him to Christ. He was gloriously saved. Number 12. We just have to realize that it's the name of Jesus. It's the blood and the cross, the whipping post. Just a few basic things. But when we're equipped with that, we become different people. Well, actually, we just become vessels that finally realize we're like a pizza box. If there's no pizza in it, we're an empty box. The glory's in the pizza. The expense is in the pizza, not the box. On one hand, we're a hunk of dirt, but we're just an empty box without Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But when we're filled with Jesus and then baptized in the Holy Ghost, this box, which they say is worth about 99 cents by today's standards, when you add up the value of the metal and everything else, we're just an empty vessel. But when Jesus comes, everything changes as long as we keep giving him the glory. Moldavanka, this is another church plant that has just taken place, and it happened through a healing of a lady that was dying of cancer. The lady that you see in the picture there, her name is Liliana. This is in Moldavanka, Moldova. It started when one of our teams went there, began to minister, and this lady came and she gave her life to Jesus, and then she stood in the prayer line when they were praying for people, and then about a month later she calls back and said, "Hey, where are you guys? How come you didn't come back? Did we offend you?" And they said, "Well, no, we are going to come back." Said, "You need to come back now. We need a church here." And she just had all these things about what needs to get done. People need to get saved. She got truly saved. But when the team went back there to minister to her again, they realized that when she was in line, she never said her problem, but she had cancer. She returned to Chisinau, the capital of Moldova, to be retested just last month. And they said, what's going on? They retested her again. No more cancer. And now they just went back, officially launched a church, and that's about the size of the church now after just a few months because of God showing up.
Yes.
And this lady, she's a dynamo. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, how many churches will be started through her life. But a testimony got her saved, and now her testimony is going to get hundreds, maybe thousands more saved. Number 13, two apples. This has to do with Vitalik Kazachenko in Odessa, church we were involved in the 90s that was planted in Odessa. And he'd just been really seeking God, crying out to God, has problem with church building, just got kicked out of their other building they had for many, many years. You know the story, problem with finding church buildings. They just finally found another one. And he was in there just crying out to God, and just, "God, we just want to see your power. We want to see the gifts. We want to see your presence. Come in greater measure." They have two services, and that morning he was up there and he said, he told the people, "I'll preach the second service. This service, we're just going to worship God. I'm just so broken. We just got to spend time with God, worshiping him." And then he noticed someone come that wasn't part of the church and he didn't recognize him, came past the security. In that particular church, we have to have security because it's kind of a crazy city. Which was shocked to him, he just walked right by security. They're just standing there like they didn't even see him. He lays in the ground, begins to sob, and a little while later, one of his women in the church comes next to him and kneels down to him, and he's thinking, "Well, that's strange." And he noticed she put something in his hands, but he just kept worshiping. And then when it was all over, the guy came up to him, and turns out he was an American on his way to Africa. He was a filmographer. He was going there. He's a believer. But he told him, "I don't know. Am I messing up? I left home and left everything to go on this mission to do a filmography about Christianity and all this money and time and family. I don't know if this is God." And so I had to stay over a day in Odessa. And I said, "God, I just need to worship you." And he Googled and found the church. Our church there, the name of it is Praise Church. He said, "I just want to come and praise." So he showed up. And then when Vitalik said, "We're just going to praise today," he knew that he was in the right place at the right time. He came past security, laid down. But on the way he shared, he put out a fleece like Gideon and says, "God, I don't know. I'm just beside myself. If this is you, do something miraculous. When I get there, have somebody come and give me two apples." Well, the lady that gave him the apples a week earlier, God had spoken to her and says, "Put two apples in your purse." She'd been carrying two apples around in her purse for a week. She didn't know why until that day. She came up afterwards, told Pastor Vitalik, I thought you might rebuke me, it may seem so strange, but she told him the story. God said, "Put apples in his hands." And then the guy says, and I want to also mention that when I was laying there, I asked God, please, after she put them in his hands, he was feeling them. "These are apples. These are apples." He said, "God, one more request. If this is you, let it be a red apple in the right hand and a green apple in the left hand." And that's what it was. Our God is an all-consuming God, but He's also a God of mercy, grace, love. He will do things for us that we can't even imagine. Something as simple as this, yet is so powerful. I don't know what God has planned that worked through that guy's life. Maybe not much. I don't know. But God loves him and you enough to do amazing things for us simply because we're his children. Number 14. Now this looks like it might be a boy and a girl and her boyfriend, but it's actually a mom and a son. Her name is Christina. Her son's name is Vadim. We sent a team to a children's hospital last year. This is probably my oldest testimony in the bunch, but, well, actually it isn't because the end of the story is recent. Does that work? Amen. And it was a children's hospital, a cancer hospital, where the kids are basically there to die. You know, some, I guess, they can help. But when Karen was there, he noticed a mom, Christina, over in the corner crying. He went to minister to her. What's going on? My son, he's got cancer. He's dying. I don't know what to do. I've got no husband. I've got no hope. I've got no money. I've got nothing. And he led her to Jesus. Prayed for the son. Last month, after Karen and Zhenya took off. Zhenya, by the way, the big guy in the video. He's a guy I started training 8 years ago to do feats of strength. When I started training him, man, I was out benching him, out lifting him. I was like, man, this is just a little wimp. Oh. I started bringing him protein, and after a while, things kept shifting. And, you know, now it's like, come on, Grandpa Pete. And just come on, come on. We were at the gym last month, and, you know, he's out lifting me now and just everything. And I'm just, he tried to make me feel better. Pete, it's okay. You got to understand. You're 61 years old. It's like, I know you tried to make me feel better, but that didn't help, Jamie. So I'm flying back, and then I get to Minneapolis. There's a text. I look at it, and I get a hold of Karen on Viber, and we start talking. He said, Pete, on the way home, I got a note on Messenger, and he said, hi, Karen, this is Christina. You remember me? And I don't know why people always say, you know, say that. You know, just, oh, how do I know you? I met you 20 years ago. And just she said, well, I'm the girl you prayed for at the hospital. And then, yes, I remember you. I just want to let you know that I'm still serving Jesus. I'm in a Pentecostal church. I just got baptized in water. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I met a man, and we've since been married. But the greatest thing is my son is healed. No more cancer. Because so often, and I talk to Karen and Natasha and all our team members so often we're tired and our bodies are hurting and it just, I mean, there's just a lot of stress. You have a family, you have kids, or you have grandkids, certain people, and all this stuff going on, and your body and your mind, you're fighting it. And should we do one more? It's so hard. Is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. 15. On November 2nd, last year, I was praying in tongues. I told you, Pastor, before the service that, I mean, I recognize my limitations. I recognize the limit of my brain power, my intellect, my strength. Now, as I get older, I feel things changing. And that doesn't sound like a good faith confession, but truth is truth. And so I just pray a lot in tongues. That's my deliverance. If we have any success, it's because of that. Amen. That's why it's so important to pray in tongues. Because it bypasses your brain and opens up things that are just so tremendous. And I was praying one day and I heard the Lord say, Year of the Tongue, 2017. I thought it was a word for me. I thought God was telling me, well, yeah, pray more in tongues, but watch my confession. And be careful what I say to people, because I can lift up or tear down. Spend more time lifting up. I was just building, establishing people in their faith. But after a few days, I realized, no, this needs to get out all over Ukraine, all Russian-speaking people. That's my calling. On November 8th, I got a hold of Sid Roth and asked him, do you have anything already done concerning tongues? He was just in the middle of writing the book. The name of the book is It's Supernatural. Makes sense. The book wasn't even done yet. At that point, it wasn't even printed. It is now, but then it hadn't even gone to print. And he said, well, I do have a chapter. It's all ready to go. Do you want it? I said, yes. Within 30 minutes, I had it. One thing I like about Sid Roth, there's a copyright. Well, you got to have a percentage. Well, if it has to do with souls, of course, we have a relationship, so it helps. Yes. Will people get saved? Will the kingdom be built? Will believers rise up in their faith? Will they speak in tongues? Will they heal the sick? Will there be supernatural? Yes. 2 weeks later, we had a website. We had 4 hours of teaching because they also send me a package of DVDs and videos. So we got all this prepared. We launched this. We're now in our second printing. 7,000 believers now have it in their hands. And believers are coming alive all over the nation of Ukraine because of one thought, one phrase. And God is speaking to us all the time. One act of faith, one step of faith. Natasha had it translated within, 3 days. Then it was proofread by the next day, and we were going to press. Praise the Lord. We also launched a It's Supernatural Russian version Sid Roth YouTube channel. We're the only ministry in the world that he's given permission to get all his It's Supernatural already done, dubbed in the Russian from CBN Moscow. And so we're still getting it. I don't know how many thousands that have been done, but we're getting them every week and we're uploading them on our site. We just passed 1 million views and we have 6,338 subscribers. And it's just another layer of what's going on in Russian Harvest Ministries. And it's just amazing. And I just thank you guys. You've been sowing into RHM for all these years. And I just want you to know what you're doing is going way beyond we can report in our newsletter. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. This may sound self-serving, but if it sounds like that, it's not. But I get newsletters from big ministries. Color, glossy, really good. But I challenge anyone to show me those big ministries that have more testimonies in their newsletter. Most of it's advertising. Or a teaching. Think about it. And yet, for every testimony you read, I have to throw away hundreds because I can't get them in. Now, I just say that because God is, he took a little knucklehead from Moorhead, Minnesota that died. I should have died by the time he was 21, but ODing on drugs, a terrible car accident. I go in the Navy, get in a fight in a bar, and I was thrown down through 2 flights of steps, stomped on by, different nationalities. I was thrown in the middle of oncoming traffic. It was just, all these things that happened in my life, I should be dead and in hell, but I'm not. Think about your life. Man, Brother Lynn tells me how the way he used to be, and I thought, you rotten. How did Ruth ever survive with the... Jesus help us. 17, Poland. Last year I heard about Poland had a million Ukrainians that have went to Poland for a better life or escaped the war. Then I heard it was 1.5, then it was 2. Now the most recent number is 2.5 million Ukrainians. I sent this young man I mentioned from Kremychuk, Vladimir Avalov, into Poland a few months ago because he had a call for the Ukrainians there to check it out, meet as many people as he can find out, see what the atmosphere is like. And he came back and said, there are churches, but most are deader than doornails. There's no life, no power. And most of the Ukrainians there are just like zombies. They go for the dream, but most don't get the dream. They get hooked in some system or some businessman scam and schemes, and they have no hope and nothing. And so I just realized, okay, this is another step for Vision 2020. I sent in Karen Zelfimian. And he went to 6 contacts that we had. We narrowed it down to 2. And I'm going to go in, or we're going to go in now. I just gave the order 2 days ago to get the electronic version made, 2 languages, to get sent in Monday to go to our first print of 10,000 in the nation of Moldova. Not a large number, but I'd rather start small and build big than start big and blow it. Make sense? Yeah. So, because God told me about Poland, start small, but start. So we're going to obey, and I believe before too long, we'll have a thriving ministry there, or rather an extension, because I'm not going to set up an office or anything like that. Just take what we've already created for Ukraine and ship it there electronically, fund it, and then send teams in to train believers in the work of the Lord. 18, Vadim Shipilov. This is a guy. There's Karam and Shipilov next to him. He's already got a very, very effective ministry in Ukraine. He does evangelism. He'll go on for 30 to 90 days in a town. He'll get 3, max 4 other churches that agree, full gospel. You know, they got to agree in the Holy Ghost. He never has more than that because he finds out too many opinions and ideas, and less, because he didn't want to tame down the gospel at all. He wants people saved, healed, and delivered. It's unique because he has so much going on, but yet he started following us and what we're doing and realized his ministry needed our gospel newspapers and our evangelism training. And I thought that's unique. Because so often, at least in me over the years, I realized I look at people maybe on TV or videos and I look at them, man, they're preaching machines. They are so anointed. They have so much going on. And you start comparing yourself. No, it's better not to compare yourself with anyone or anything. Be satisfied for who you are, what God called you to do. But now we're teaming with him. We're going to be teaming with him in June, going and actually train his people in evangelism. And we're going to see where God would take that in the future. Number 20, Mariupol. This is just one example. 6,000 times. Over 6,000 times in the last 12 months, this happened on the street. This is a typical day where a team went out in Mariupol that's down in the buffer zone where it's part of the war area. 16 people gave their lives to Jesus on the street. As average believers, just decided, we're just going to just go do it. We have tents that we're making to set up tents, as I said in the video. Now we'll have cold tea or cold water with lemon and just something to draw the people. They're hot. Once they're there, our teams are trained. They start sharing Jesus. And hundreds of people a day at least hear the gospel, at least had an opportunity to say yes or no. But that day, 16 people were healed. Number 21, this lady. It was actually 3 ladies that went to this hospital. This man was deaf. They came in there, showed him the gospel newspaper, started talking, and he just said, totally deaf. She prays for him, ears are open, he gets saved. Then there's a guy in the bed next to him. He comes, what's going on? Shared Christ, he gets saved. Then a third guy gets saved. Then 2 ladies that were walking down the hallway heard what was going on, heard and saw that guy telling them he's healed. They get saved. And then they said, well, we have relatives. They're not here. Can you call them? I'll call them. Will you share Jesus with them? So that she got on the phone, called them. They get saved. By the time they left that room, 8 people had been born again, and there was only 3 in the room. Number 23. Now this is Ukraine Vision 2020. This started last year. God told me before the year began, 2016, to launch this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. It was so big. 42 million people in 5 years to reach. I mean, it was just so big. I didn't obey. So I just gave the number. We're going to, because the year before we had 1 million. So I set the number at 2.5 million. Because the money it would take. I mean, the teams it would take. I mean, I did the logistics. I said, and I never say it's impossible because I know what the Bible says. But in my mind, I'm thinking, God, how? It just. Then one day he rebuked me. And it was a strong enough rebuke that I got up publicly. before a conference, that one I had like 600 people there. And publicly, I just let it out. I just confessed it. Here's what we're going to do. And then I know it's over. It's too late. It's on the internet. It's on Facebook. It's too late. So we launched it. And now look what's happened. One act of, what if I wouldn't have did it? The blood that would be on our hands. I thank God. Number 25. It's hard to see, so I'll just read it quickly. Over 3 million gospel newspapers in the last 12 months. This year, God spoke to me and said, double for your trouble. So based on the numbers, we're behind that double, but I'm still believing. So we're believing somehow it's going to kick in. We'll sow 6 million gospel newspapers. We had 100 teams up and running and trained. We're going to have 200 this year. We had chaplains sent to 50 teams sent in of chaplains. We're believing it for 100. And the list goes on and on and on. Everything that I had in Vision 2020 is coming to pass. Then our partnership with Sid Roth has increased. Well, let's just go ahead and see what Sid has to say. We'll have to turn up. Yeah, go to 25 and see if we can get that volume to work.
Hello, Sid Roth here. I want to thank God for my friend Peter Mell, because God has used him in such a supernatural fashion in Ukraine. And my passion, if you know me, is to reach Jewish people with the gospel. And Peter has set up two of the largest, I believe that I've done four that were unbelievable, the number of Jewish people that came, and unbelievable, the number of Jewish people that were healed, and unbelievable, the number of Jewish people that were saved. And Peter was responsible for two of these evangelistic events. But I see that Peter is not a copy. He hears from God and implements what God wants him to do. And he wrote me a while ago, and he said, Sid, do you have any material on speaking in supernatural languages, in tongues? I said, sure, and you can use anything you want of ours. Next thing I knew, he said, do I have permission to put it into Russian? He produced a booklet in or Ukrainian. He produced a booklet in the Ukrainian language on speaking in tongues. And it was, 6,000, I believe? 7,000, okay. Thank you for the cue. It was 7,000 Christians have received this booklet. He's signing up people to pray in tongues every day. And I have to tell you, I used to be a stockbroker before I became a believer in the Messiah. I'm so glad I got delivered from that. But I have some inside information. With all the bad press about what's going on in Ukraine, you have 7,000 people, believers, praying an hour a day in supernatural languages or longer. I would bet on Ukraine to turn everything around. I believe Ukraine is going to be one of the first large Christian countries in the world, just based on the type of activity I see Peter Mell doing. And I look for people like Peter. You know, most people, they don't use initiative. They don't listen to God. Most believers are they're just copies. But Peter Mell is an original. And I want to say thank you, Peter, for partnering with Messianic Vision. It's supernatural.
There's a lot of stuff we're actually doing with Sid, Messianic Vision, that I cannot share at this point until after the fact because security. But we're working very closely on some stuff that's going to be just powerful when I'm able to release it next month. But we also partner monthly, and 25,000 of his booklets and over 150,000 of his testimony booklets, and then other booklets that we've translated. I mean, you know, they've partnered with us, and so many thousands are coming to Christ, and other believers being built up because of that. But I said all that and showed this not to lift me up. I actually did it here for one specific reason. Here's why. It shows how one phrase from a person can change the destiny of tens of thousands of people. Because many years ago, I was on the phone talking to a friend, and I don't remember what we're talking about, but I remember all of a sudden he said, "Hey, Pete, have you ever heard of a guy named Sid Roth?" And I said, "No." He said, "You got to listen to the guy. He's just wild. He's just crazy. He's just a shakarabata guy. Just, you know." So I found him, started listening to him, started following him, and one thing led to another. Then we became partners, and we set up these evangelistic outreaches, and now we've got other stuff coming up and reaching so many thousands of people. It's just amazing. But it all happened when my friend, Lynn Diekman, many years ago said, "Hey, Pete, have you ever heard of a guy named Sid Roth?" Isn't that amazing? You know, I'd forgotten about that till on the way down here. All of a sudden I realized, wow, that's right. So we never know how just one word, you say it and you'll never know what happens until eternity when you find out in heaven. But that one phrase got my ear, and then now it's leading to a relationship that's causing tens of thousands of people to come into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm believing this year is going to be the best year yet for RHM. You also sowed into our project, our second floor project, and we are now at the point of addition to the second floor of our missionary training center in Chernigov. And I want to thank you for that. We're now at the stage where we're putting on the second coat of plaster, tapering, texturing, and plastering. Now we'll go to painting next week. And so I'm hoping in maybe 3 weeks, you know, it's going to be done. We can start accessing and utilizing that space. So thank you, Crossfire Church, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for standing with us. I just want you to be blessed and know by this presentation that what you're sowing into our ministry is doing so much. We covenant with you in the kingdom to always do what is right, to use the finances properly, and on your behalf win tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Our board members all come up here. I'm not going to ask you to speak. Just sing. No, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm so thrilled at what God is doing in the world. Because, see, it's all about Him. It's all about the Lord. I see how God's connecting things in the world. We got everybody up here? Rick, where are you? Oh, get up here, Rick. I'm so excited to see what the Lord is doing in the Ukraine. Did you get a little sense of what the Lord is doing? Can you see the hand of God moving across the nation? That's why we support missions in this church. This church, like Pete said, just think about this church, this property, everything in this building. I look out at every one of you people in here, the regular attenders of Crossfire Assembly, and you were called to Crossfire Assembly, whether you think you were or not. Because I believe God has used each and every person, your faithful people. I thank God for you. And this is a great church. We're never going to be a church of 10,000 people because that is not my goal. I'm not nickels and numbers. I want to preach the gospel. But I believe God has called and raised up Crossfire Assembly for a specific purpose to reach the masses one at a time. Amen. And we want to continue supporting missionaries like Peter Mel and other missionaries, but specifically I know this ministry, what's happening around the world now with Poland and everything, and we've got a board that's got a heart for missions here. We had a board meeting, and Pete, we got a check here, and I want you to open it. I want you to read the amount. Because this is God's people. Now, it's not $1 million, so don't get all excited here, okay? Go.
$10,000.
$10,000. Glory to God. Now, that may seem to some big churches peanuts, but I tell you what. This is you. This is the faithfulness of God's people that we're able to do this. And we've been doing this ever since we started this church. We've been putting our finances into missions, to reaching that one person, those people out there that you and I will never connect with, but because of God using you, bringing you here, why we're able to do this. Can you believe that? I'm excited. I'm excited. Amen. So we're going to close this down now and pray and thank the Lord, because it's really God moving the body of people around the world. He's raised Crossfire up with other ministries that are also supporting you, Pete, and I know that. So I'm excited to see, should Jesus tarry, what he's going to be doing this year, the balance of 2017, because we want souls. And we're not going to compromise. We're not going to put our money into whatever. We're going to put it into souls. Because we saw just not even a touch of what God is doing, but he is changing people by the multitudes around the world. And we're part of that, and we're excited about it. So, gentlemen, let's lay hands on Brother Pete Mel. And you people, put your hands forward and speak in tongues if you want to pray. This is Pentecostal. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Father, we lift up our brother Peter Mel. Lord, a lot of times people and churches and ministries are looking for charismatic people. But Lord, you use the foolish things, Father. You use me even, Lord. And Father, you use brother Pete. You use all of the staff that God has called to come alongside him. And Lord, we lift him up right now. We ask that you would continually, supernaturally, move upon this ministry, upon Russian Harvest, Father. Move upon him, even where all the workers, all the teams are placed right now. Even while Pete is standing here, there's missionary work going on around the world in this team, Lord. We would ask that the anointing be upon them. We ask that the blood of Jesus be over them, Lord. We ask that you give them divine health. Give them strength. Give them wisdom from your throne room, Father. Put your protective hand upon all of them, the workers, the people that nobody will ever meet, but they're faithful, Lord. And continue to bless Peter Mel and Jill in Russian Harvest Ministry. And Lord, I also pray the precious blood of Jesus over their children, over their grandchildren. Because the enemy is subtle. He will try to come in the back door to tear down, to destroy, Lord, in any manner he possibly can. So Lord, we would ask us a wall of protection around this ministry, around Peter and Jill and his family right now. And Lord, take these funds, Father. And I know Peter Mel will allow those funds to be used properly. But that multitudes will come to Jesus because a Crossfire Assembly heard from you also. A board that heard from you that you've given a heart to, that we dispense these monies into the harvest field. And we thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for binding us together as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you, Father. I also pray blessings upon this congregation, that you continue to work in their hearts and lives, that you touch their homes, touch their families. Lord, touch their health, touch every part of their being, Lord, and use us to reach a lost and dying world. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.